All right, the Eish Kodesh has one piece of Torah in Parshas Emor from the year Tufshin, from the year 1940. Okay, and it's a pasuk we're very familiar with. Usfartem lachem yimachras haShabbos. You should count Sfiras HaOmer from the day after Shabbos. Okay, here's the moment of truth, friends. What does mimachras haShabbos mean?
Not Shabbos.
Very good. You're not a tzeduki, Baruch Hashem. Okay. So we start counting Sfira from the day after Shabbos. Shabbos here means Yom Tov. In other words, the 15th of Nisan is Pesach, the first day of Pesach. If we live in an ideal Eretz Yisrael society, we keep one day of Yom Tov. And that day of Yom Tov is being called here Shabbos. It's a day of rest. It's a Yom Tov. We begin to count Sfiras HaOmer on the second day of Pesach, the day after Shabbos, the day after Yom Tov. In other words, the 16th of Nisan. Miyom haviachem es Omer hatanufa sheva shabbosos tamimos tiana. From after the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, you should count 7 complete weeks. Okay. Ukiyadua migamara, the Gemara tells us a famous machlokas between the Tzedukim and an alien friend. Okay? Achalok is between the Orthodox Torah community and the Tzedukim. She'ena Tzedukim modim she'akavana hi mimachras Yom Tov. The Tzedukim do not agree to our position that the day after Shabbos here means the day after Yom Tov. V'navina ma meramiz lanu b'zeh she'kara ha'pasuk kan Yom Tov b'shem Shabbos. So you have to ask the question, why does the Pasuk refer to Yom Tov as Shabbos? It's confusing. Meaning it sets the stage for the Tzedukim to misinterpret and think that Sfiras HaOmer starts on Sunday. Doesn't matter what day the first day of Pesach is, you start counting on the Sunday after Pesach. Or the day, right? The day after Shabbos. Shabbos being Shabbos. But that's not what we hold. Shabbos in our tradition, Shabbos means the day after Yom Tov. So we need to understand, why did Hashem refer to Yom Tov as Shabbos? We'll come back to that question in the final paragraph or so of the piece. Let's put that question on the side for now. We'll see if we can answer it by the end. So he quotes an interesting Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Tesamit Beis. So Afshar ki Isa b'Gemara Avodah Zarah, Shol Rabbi Yishmolesh Rabbi Yoshua, Keshayu Mahalchin B'derach. It shows that it's good to talk Torah while you're traveling. So Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua were traveling. They were walking together on the road one time. Rabbi Yishmael asked Rabbi Yoshua, "Mipnei ma asru gvinas nachir?" In the second parak of Avodah Zarah, he asked him the following question: why is it that the rabbis prohibited the gvina, the cheese of non-Jews? So, Chaver, why is it that the rabbis prohibited the milk of non-Jews? Out of concern of kashrus. Why is it that the rabbis prohibited the bread of non-Jews?
So that we don't eat together?
Chasnos, exactly. We shouldn't get too comfortable with them and come to make, you know, shidduchim with our non-Jewish friendly neighbors. And why is it that the rabbis asked gvinas nachim? That was the question of Bishmal Esther Bishu on the road. Right? Because each of those decrees, rabbinic decrees, they're not all exactly the same. Some of them are a concern of intermarriage. Some of them are a concern of kashrus. So why is it that the rabbis prohibited gvinas nachim, the cheese products of non-Jews? Amar lo, v'pnei shamidin oso b'keval shel nevela. Because they process it with the rennet. B'keval means the stomach. In the stomach of a nevela, of animal carcasses. In other words, it's processed with enzymes that come from the stomach of a non-kosher animal, an animal that didn't have a proper shechita. Sounds like it's a kashrus concern, right? Sounds like it's a kashrus concern. Whether exactly it means nevela or exactly what it means, is it a basar v'chalav concern? Apparently, it sounds like there's some kashrus concern. Amar lo, so he said back to him, hold on a second. V'halo kevas ola chamura mikevas nevela. But the stomach, the keva, of a carbon ola, the carbon ola which needs to be burnt on the mizbeach, the kevas ola, which is presumably chamura, is presumably more stringent then what? Then the rennet, then the stomach of a nevela. V'amru, and yet the halacha is kohen shadaito yafa, a kohen who, as I guess, daito yafa, I guess would translate as easygoing. Shorfa chaya v'lo hodulo. He's allowed to swallow it raw. And even though lo hodulo, even though not everyone agreed to this position, aval amru ein nanin v'lo mo'alin. While you're not allowed to benefit from it, if you do, it's not me'ila. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that how could it be, right, that the stomach of a carbon ola, which again, seemingly because it's hektish, because it belongs to Mizbeach, it belongs to Beis HaMikdash, is seemingly more stringent, and yet the halacha is, while you're not really allowed to eat it, according to some, if a kohen did eat it, it's not me'ila, it's not a violation of misappropriating something of hektish. So how could it be that the rabbis, in other words, his response was, how could it be the rabbis were more strict about what? About making cheese, which would somehow cause you to eat from the keva of an avela, when even a kohen who ate the keva of a carbon ola, which is seemingly more stringent, and yet there's some room to, you know, to be lenient there. There's some room to not hold him fully accountable there. So, in other words, he responded to him, it doesn't make sense to me that that should be the reason the rabbi is asered, gvinas nachr. Has to be something more. Because even keva shel ola, the rabbis were not, even though there's room to be stringent, the rabbis were not fully stringent. So he says back to him, you're right, I'll give you a different reason. You know why you can't eat non-Jewish cheese? Amrulam v'pnesha ma'amidin osa bekevas egle avodas kochavim. Oh. You're not allowed to eat non-Jewish cheese because what? Because they process it in the stomach with the stomach enzymes of animals that were used for Avodah Zarah. And an animal that's used for Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana. So that's why, out of that concern, the rabbi said, you're not allowed to have non-Jewish cheese. So which he responded to him, but hold on a second. Amar lo imkein, lamo lo asru bahana. So then not only should it be prohibited to eat cheese that was prepared by a non-Jew, but it should be equally prohibited to benefit. If it's really an Avodah Zarah concern, you shouldn't be allowed to get any hana from it at all. So they're going back and forth trying to clarify the halachos of Gvinos Nachr. And they're back and forth. And finally, he sealed the davar acher. As they're debating this topic, discussing this topic, he redirected the conversation to davar acher, to a different thing. He said, you know what? Let's pause for a second. Let me ask you a different question. Amar lo, Yishmael achi, heich ata korei kitovim dodecha miyayin, o kitovim dodayich. So, as they're discussing, he changed the Rishua changed the conversation on him a little bit, and he said, "My brother Yishmael, let me ask you, how do you understand the pasuk in Shir HaShirim?" Now, again, we know how to read the pasuk because we have nekudos. The pasuk says, "Yishakeini minashikos piyo, kiss me with the kisses of your lips, ki tovim dodecha miyayin," because sweeter, more desirable is your love than fine wine. But he asked him, you know, it doesn't have the kudos. It doesn't necessarily have the kudos, right? If you look at a Megillah scroll, it doesn't have the kudos. So how do you read the pasuk? Do you read it kitovim dodecha miyayin, masculine? Or do you read it kitovim dodayich? Or do you read it in the feminine? In other words, who's talking to? Are we talking to Hashem? His love? Or her love? Is it the love of the Jewish people? Amr lo, so Rabbi Yishmael said back to him, ki tovim dodayich. Her love is sweeter than wine. Amr lo, ain't a davar kein. So Rabbi Yishmael said back to him, no, that's not right. Sharei, chavero malame to love. The other part of the pasuk, right? The chavero, it's friend, meaning the other part of the pasuk, teaches us, reveals the truth of the proper interpretation, l'reyach shemanecha tovim, masculine. So it's supposed to be understood, ki tovim dodecha miyayin. His love is more desirable than wine. We've got to work a lot of things out here. I don't know what his love is, what her love is. Who's talking? Klai Yisrael's talking to Hashem. Hashem's talking to Klai Yisrael. And how did this become the tangent that Rabbi Yeshua, you know, pushed Rabbi Yishmael down while they were discussing the halachos of Gvinas Nachim? So, says our Rebbe Deish Kodesh, to get a little clarity. Amar B'Gemara, bottom paragraph. Shegezeira zo she'asu Gvinas Ha'akum b'soch Yud Beis Kodesh Ha'isa. So we have to know the history. Get a little history lesson. You have to know the history of how the rabbis made gezeiros. When Chazal introduced a new decree, so to what degree did they share their findings as to why they made that decree? So he says here, apparently, this decree regarding the status of a non-Jew's cheese products was still within the first 12 months of that decree. And the rule is, a decree, before it fills 12 months, before it is around for 12 months, ein megalin tama. Chazal did not reveal, they just said it as a kol kore, a proclamation, gvinas akum aser. Rabbi, why? We'll talk about it in a year from now. Why didn't they reveal the explanation? Because you might say, I don't find that to be a compelling reason. And therefore you treat it leniently, you don't take it seriously. So in order to not explain, to show that the gzera is a gzera because it is, not to say that Chazal don't have a rationale, but they want it to take root among the Jewish people before they start offering explanations. Because there's a danger of saying, right, oh, this is the reason, and if that doesn't speak to you, if it's not compelling to you, oh, you can't eat, what, I can't eat my non-Jewish neighbor's bread, because what? Because I'm going to come to make a shidduch with his daughter? I would never do such a thing. I know myself. So the rabbis didn't reveal the reason for the gezeira until it already had taken root for 12 months. V'achar yud beis chodesh, shekvar nispashta ha-gezeira b'Yisrael, kvar megal in taima. But after 12 months, now it's already spread out, the spashtim is spread out amongst the Jewish people. So then, Megal and Taima, then the rabbis would reveal the reason, the rationale behind it. So v'yisiu ledavar acher. So as they were discussing, again, they were discussing the halachos of cheese when it was first being formulated, Rabbi Yeshua redirected the conversation. V'yisiu ledavar acher. Rabbi Yishmael Amar Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar LeKnesses Yisrael Ki Tovim Do Daich Miayin. That Rabbi Yishmael said, in interpreting the pasuk, that Hashem said to the Jewish people, "Her love is sweeter, is more desirable than wine." Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua, no, you got it wrong. SheKnesses Yisrael Omer LeKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Jewish people said to Hashem, "Arevim Alai Divrei Dodecha." Beloved, a raven, sweet, desirable to me, are the words of Dodecha, of his companions, his lovers, or maybe his friends, Hainu Divrei Sofrim, who are the friends of Hashem, the Divrei Sofrim, the rabbis themselves, the Chachamim, Yoser Meyena Shel Torah, that the rabbinic safeguards, the rabbinic decrees, are sometimes even greater than the original mitzvah d'oraisa. So that makes sense, right? Meaning, why did he guide him into this conversation? He was trying to say, right? As they're discussing the rationale for a gzeira derabanan, he went off on a tangent to highlight how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessed to have such good friends in the forms of the rabbis, in the form of the rabbis who come to protect his mitzvahs. Okay? But we're still not satisfied. Turn to the top of the next page. Because, hold on a second. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua are contemporaries. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua are the Chachamim. So we need to understand. Says the Rabbi, I don't understand. V'navina im ein megalin tam gezeira kodem yud beis chodesh. So if you're not able to reveal the rationale within 12 months, so lama shol Rabbi Yishmael kishashama migzeira chadash azu. So why did Rabbi Yishmael inquire of Rabbi Yeshua, what is the reason for this gezeira? In other words, if Rabbi Yishmael was not privy to, you know, being on the panel of rabbis who made the gezeira, so and you, no one's allowed to know within 12 months, so then he shouldn't be asking. V'imrak la'atzmo shal, and if he's asking just for himself, and presumably he is one of the rabbis who's worthy of being part of the conversation, And he's not planning to reveal it to anyone else. So lamalo amrlo. So why didn't he just answer him? Why are they going back and forth so much? Because presumably, if it's mutter for Rabbi Yeshua to know, so why is it not mutter for Rabbi Yishmael to know? Either be manavshach, either he shouldn't be asking the question if the rule applies to him, and if it doesn't apply to him, so give him the proper answer. Why are they going back and forth? And he's questioning the answer. That doesn't make sense. What's really going on? And more than that, again, v'lama dafka lepasuk ulidrash zeh. Why dafka did he redirect him against towards this pasuk in Shir HaShirim and the drasha in Shir HaShirim? Hagemara omeres mishum shekavanaso haisal reishis apasuk. The Gemara seems to tell us that actually he was really hinting to him the first part of the pasuk, which is what? Yeshakeini minishikos piu, kiss me with the kisses of your lips. Vinavina lamar amarlo esofa pasuk velo estchilaso. What was he saying? What was he hinting to? They got sidetracked by discussing the end of the pasuk, which we sort of explained on the first page, right? But what he was really saying to him is, "Kiss me with the kisses of your lips." In other words, right? If two people are conversing and then they start to kiss, so then they're no longer conversing. In other words, he was trying to shut down the conversation. He was saying, close your lips and stop talking so much about this. Right? And yet, they ended up having a very engaging conversation about the end of the pasuk. How do you understand ki tovim dodecha miayin? Is it ki tovim dodayich, tovim dodecha? Is it Klal Yisrael talking to God? Is it God talking to the Jewish people? So what's really going on in this unusual Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Tes? So the Rebbe says a gevaldik thing. The Rebbe says, why do we do mitzvos of Hashem? So we've said many times, and obviously it resonates very strongly when the Rebbe is living through a period of Jewish history that's maybe the hardest of all time to wrap your head around in any way, to make sense of, to understand why it is, to make sense of how it is or why it is. I was sitting with someone last night. I had to have a meeting with someone last night for several hours. He's the son of Holocaust survivors. And he told me, he said, Rabbi, you're going to think this is chutzpahdik. He said, but I feel that all of the success that I've had in my life and our family has had is because Hashem was apologizing to our family for putting my parents through what he put them through. That God had regret for being too hard on them and putting them through what they went through during the Second World War. He said, I know you're going to be angry at me for saying that. I said, I'm not angry for saying that. I don't know how Hashem runs the world. I don't know if Hashem feels that he overdid it during the Holocaust. That's a kind of a bold thing to say. That's all I said. I said, it's a bold thing to say. I said, it's not my place to tell you if you're right or wrong. I don't know if I would say that, but as a son of Holocaust survivors, I guess, you know, I kind of get it. I kind of get what you're saying. So Hashem is paying me back for overdoing it. Okay. We try sometimes to pretend we understand how Hashem runs the world. But when it comes to mitzvahs in general, and we've seen it many times, and again, from the perspective of the Piyaz, what I'm trying to say is, from the perspective of the Piyaz, that's the Rebbe, he has to teach people to accept the way that Hashem runs the world without questioning. Because what choice does he have to make sense of the suffering other than to say, God knows what he's doing. So when it comes to doing mitzvos, why do we do mitzvos? We do mitzvos because God said so. It doesn't matter if you understand it. You could think you understand. Oh, I know why we eat matzah. It even says it in the Haggadah. We eat matzah because the Jews left Mitzrayim in a hurry and they didn't have time for their bread to rise. Right? You might think you know why we do mitzvos, and you can read the Sefer HaChinuch, and you can read the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, and you can find all sorts of rationale for mitzvos. But at the end of the day, why do we do mitzvos? Kasher Tziva Hashem, because God said so. But what about mitzvos derabanan? Do I have to listen to the rabbis the same way I listen to God? Or with the rabbis, is it more reasonable for me to say, okay, Rabbi, tell me why? You're not God. God can make proclamations. God can make decrees. God can say, do this or don't do that. And whether I get it or not, whether it's something that I think, in quotes, makes sense to me, like don't murder, and don't steal, and don't commit acts of adultery, whether it's something that I don't get at all, like a para aduma or shotness in my garments, right? Hashem says, so I do. But Rabbi, you're a person. You may be a smart person, you may be a learned person. You may be a religious leader. That's all great, but you still have accountability to explain your words. So says the Rebbe, Aval es mitzvos Hashem in a Torah anu osin b'chuka. The mitzvos of the Torah we do as a chok. God said so. Afes mishpatim lo mishum haseichel sh'anu mavinu behen osin. Even those mitzvos that we call mishpatim, that we think we do understand, the rational mitzvos, we also don't do them just because our mind understands them. Rakadela kaimis gezeras hamelech. Rather, in order to fulfill the king's decree. Kasher kamosha muva besar makadoshim. As explained in all the holy works. Masha'enkein, we might think, Masha'enkein, the opposite is true when it comes to the gzeros derabanan. Shehein mishmeres l'mishmeres. That the rabbinic decrees are merely a safeguard to protect the principles of the Torah. L'chora, and therefore, it seems reasonable, rakasher yodeya ha'ish es taila shel gzera, if I understand the rationale of the decree, tia asiyas o mitzvah. So then, I understand why this is protecting the mitzvah. I understand how this is safeguarding the mitzvah. But if I don't understand it, right? Again, serving God is always serving God, period. Hashem tells me to do something ridiculous, I do it. Hashem tells Avram to take Yitzchak to the Akedah, he does it. Sounds nuts, it sounds crazy. But God said, I do. But Rabbi, if you want me to do something that you think is going to enhance my relationship with Torah, you need to prove yourself, you need to explain yourself. Because Rabbi, what you're saying, b'derech hapshad, is not a mitzvah. You're not God. You can't make mitzvos. You can't make mitzvos. Listen carefully. Rabbi, you can't make mitzvos. You can't create mitzvos. You're protecting Hashem's mitzvos. So if your protection makes sense, if it will help me to better keep the mitzvos of Hashem, then gevaldik. But if not, so give your gezeros, give your takanos, give your rabbinic proclamations to someone else. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to help protect Hashem's mitzvos. And therefore, if I don't know why I'm doing it, so how can I do something that, how can I allow another human being to tell me to do something that makes no sense? Hashem is God. He can tell me to do things that I don't understand. That's part of our humility and bittul to our Creator. But Rabbi, you got to explain yourself. Says the Piyazetz Rebbe, in three words, Aval ze eino, it's not true. What the Rebbe is going to teach us now is a very deep idea. We have the ability to make mitzvos. Now, we have to see what that means. What does that mean, we have the ability to make mitzvos? That sounds very controversial, very delicate. Ki Hashem melamei Torah la'amu Yisrael. Hashem teaches the Torah to the Jewish people. Okay. V'lo milamid lavad, rakam nosin lahem hatorah. Chavra, today is the 24th day of the Omer. Today is the 24th day of the Omer. Yeah, anyone not count last night? Need a reminder. It's not too late. You can still count now without a bracha, of course. Today is the 24th day of the Omer. What is the svira for today? Who knows? Tiferes Shebenetzach. Yom Arba'a Ve'esim Yom Shem Shlosha Shavuos Shlosha Yamim La'Omer Tes Iyar Tif Eres Shebenetzach. Right? The splendor of victory. Yeah. One of the most amazing things about Torah, which is Tiferes, is that, I'm not saying this is what Tiferes Shebenetzach is exactly, but one of the amazing things about Tiferes, about Torah, which is Tiferes, Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes, Yaakov is Ishtam Yosheva. One of the most amazing things about Torah is that Hashem didn't just give us the Torah, but Hashem gave us the Torah. What does that mean? It means Hashem didn't just, you know, give us responsibility of Torah, but Hashem empowered us to control the Torah, to shape the Torah, to mold the Torah, to do what it says in Maseches Makos, that even though the pasuk says Arba'im Yakenu, give him 40, the rabbis say up to 40. Right? That's a part of the partnership between us and Hashem. That we have the ability to what? Hashem was no sin lehem Torah. Hashem put us in charge of His Torah. Hashem entrusted us with His Torah. Hashem took His Tiferes, His Torah, and He said, you can be victorious over me, like the famous Gemara, where the Gemara says that Hashem declared, nitzchuni banai, my children have defeated me, my children have defeated me. And the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, lo b'shamayim hi, Right? Hashem, you can proclaim whatever you want, but once you gave the Torah to us, lo bashamayimi, we don't have to, ein mashkichin babaskol. We don't have to listen to a baskol. We're in charge of the Torah right now. It's a powerful idea. So Hashem didn't just teach us the Torah. Hashem didn't just transmit it to us, but He gave it to us. Shenasan haTorah liYisrael. Atchemi'ata gam Yisrael yecholim lasos mitzvos. Amazing line. Says our Rebbe, from the time Hashem gave us the Torah, we have a real stake in the company, in the corporation. Right? We're significant shareholders. We have powerful voting rights. We have the ability to what? To mold the Torah and to make mitzvos in a sense. Ki ha-mitzvos da-raisa. Listen to the words, hein evarin de-malka. The mitzvos of the Torah correspond to the limbs of the king. We know there are 248 mitzvos haseh corresponding to the 248 limbs of the body. They also correspond to 248 spiritual limbs, so to speak. The Torah speaks about God's eyes, the Yad Hashem, the Zerah Hashem. Speaks about God's body parts, right? The Ivarin de Malka, as it's referred to in the Zohar Kadosh, right? The limbs of the king. Okay, the cave and she Yisrael neachazin begufa de Malka. So, if the Torah, if the mitzvot represent the limbs of the king, since we're clinging, we're holding on to the gufa de Malka, since we have a grasp on the body of the king, so to speak. And we know from the Zohar Kadosh that Kuchabrichu, the Oraisa, the Yisrael Chad. It's a Zohar, I believe, in last week's Parsha, in Acharemos. Well, I guess now, last week's Parsha, in Acharemos. That Hashem and the Torah and the Jewish people are one. Lachain, Ritzonam, Daitam, Vinishmasam. Kishakashurin, Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yecholin Gamheim, Leasos Mitzos. We become one with Hashem, one with His Torah. In other words, that we become partners in actually creating mitzvos, controlling mitzvos, defining reality. It's an amazing idea. Kamosha Amra HaGemar Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, there's very complex, detailed rules about what does it mean to see the new moon, what does it mean to testify to the new moon, but the bottom line is, Asher Tikru'u Osam B'mo Adam, the Gemara says, Osam Atem, Asher Tikru'u Atem, you make the declaration. And the Gemara says, what he quotes here, Atem afilu shogigen. You set the rules, even if you make a mistake. Atem afilu meziden. The rules follow you, even if you intentionally mess things up. Hashem says, we're business partners. If your business partner messes up the business, even though you say, well, I wouldn't have done that. Well, too bad. Now the business is in that particular situation. Someone made a choice. And His choice mattered. So Hashem empowered us as partners in Torah, Kuchabrichu Arais of Yisrael Chad, Hashem empowered us to what? To have voting rights. To be able to make mitzvos. Not just to add a nice little touch-up, a little fence around Hashem's mitzvos. To actually mold and fashion mitzvos. So look what he writes here. Bottom paragraph. V'gam ha-mitzvos d'rabbanon mevarchen asher k'dishanu b'mitzvosav. Think about how powerful that is. You say the words Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, that Hashem has commanded us in His mitzvos. Why am I making that bracha on a menorah, on a megillah? Mitzvos d'rabbanan. V'gam amarnu kvar shemizeh roen shehagam shemitchila kesheosin chacham esagzeros b'shvil ha-mitzvos d'araisim. And therefore, as we've explained, even though it seems that the rabbis, when they initiated their gezeirah, it was merely a safeguard offense around the mitzvah d'oraisa. But once the rabbis make it, once Chazal have instituted it, we don't look at it as what? As some type of second-class category. It becomes unified with the mitzvah itself. It becomes a mitzvah. Mikol makom. Achar shetzivu osanu, hein ba'atzman nasos mitzvos. Chazal make mitzvos. And he gives you a very clear example of this, and then I'll take your comments. Ki b'yom sheni shel galyus, us chutz la'aretz Jews, who keep a second day of Yom Tov. So you have to think about that for a second. Af sha'ata anu b'kiyan b'kviya di'ercha. But nowadays, we're experts in what? We're experts in the calendar. We have an established calendar. Hillel set up a calendar. We have a calendar. We're not guessing which day is which at this point. We've established it. And yet we're still playing this game of keeping an additional day. So you have Jews in Israel who are already eating chametz, and you're still keeping Pesach. You have Jews in Israel who are putting on their tefillin because it's a regular day after Pesach. And for us, it's still Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. It's the eighth day of Pesach. It's Achron Shel Pesach. How could that be? What do you mean, how can that be? The rabbi said so. Yeah, but don't you realize that it comes at the expense of other things? That means the rabbis are saying we're taking away a day of tefillin. Do they think they have the equal authority to Hashem to make a Yom Tov? To cancel a day of tefillin? That's essentially what happens when you keep that last day of Yom Tov. When we're osim Yom Tov Sheni, ve'ein menichin tefillin b'yom hazeh, says the rabbi, two lines at the bottom. Tefillin, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. How could that be? Once the rabbis establish Yom Tov Sheni, that's a mitzvah. And we don't look at it as a second class. It's a real mitzvah. It's a binding mitzvah. It's the real deal. Even though maybe they initiated that process of an additional day of Yom Tov because of a doubt as to exactly when Yom Tov is. But once the rabbis make a mitzvah, it's a real mitzvah. We don't use the phrase, it's just a derabbanan. That's a wrongful way to speak. Right? It's not the right way. Ah, but you'll tell me, but there still are realities of deraisas and derabbanan. It's okay, that's true. But the Rebbe is trying to bolster our attitude towards a mitzvah derabbanan. To understand that, again, we don't just do Hashem's mitzvahs because God said so. But the rabbis, we question and question and question. If it's established, if Chazal established it, it becomes a mitzvah. Now we're going to have to see how this ties back to our Gemara. We have to see how this ties back to our opening pasuk about Pesach being called Shabbos as opposed to Yom Tov. We have to see how to apply it to our life. Basically, we'll have one page left. Yeah.
So if you view it in the same light, how come some of the punishments for violating a Durabhan mitzvah?
Right. There's definitely more leeway even within Halacha for mitzvahs Durabhan. Right. So obviously the Rebbe's aware of that. There's no question that, you know, categorically on a certain halachic level, deraisas carry more weight than derabanans, right? Safik deraisa lechumra, safik derabanan lekula. There's lots of different considerations when we talk about deraisas and derabanans. But what we're about to see, going back to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua's conversation, kitovim dodecha miyayin, is Hashem's way of, in a certain way, acknowledging that the chachamim are even more beloved in my eyes than yena shel Torah. Now again, in a certain halachic framework, that's not really true, right? Mitzvahs d'oraisa carry more weight. But on a certain level, Hashem values and appreciates our partnership in making mitzvahs even more than His own mitzvahs, which is a very powerful idea. That's really the conversation of Yeshua and Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, but you're right, there's no question, there still is a hierarchy in terms of, you know, in terms of punishments, in terms of considerations in halacha. Yeah. Right. So okay. So we'll circle back to tzedukim. We'll have to see. Right. The tzedukim will have their own, you know, warped way of interpreting things. Right. So we'll have to see how that factors it. Yeah.
Also, it's just to play off the Ali's point. It's interesting that they Dafke use a case where the Chachamim are saying that this mitzvah is actually mitzvah d'oraita.
What do you mean?
It said that Shehu mitzvah d'oraisa.
No, he's saying tefillin. That we don't put on tefillin, which is the mitzvah d'oraisa, showing that once the rabbis establish it, it can compete with d'oraisas. Okay. Right? I mean, even though Eli is correct in saying d'rabbanans don't always compete with d'oraisas, but he's saying, hold on a second, for the fact that we're going to keep that extra day of Pesach, or that extra day of Shavuos, or that extra day of Sukkos, right, that's going to allow us to compete with real, you know, mitzvos of Hashem. So that's what he's trying to say. Okay? Okay, so let's continue on the top of the last page. Pei Aleph. Ve'efshir zeu gam kein yirmaz b'gemar nizkar sleil. So let's go back to Yishmael and Yeshua on a little stroll out for a walk. What are they talking about on their walk? They're talking about gvinos nachri, gvinos ach, non-Jewish cheese, non-kosher cheese, but what makes it not kosher? That was their whole conversation. Shabbi Yishmael, Ratzah Shiyagales, Tayam HaGezerah, Sha'asr Gvinas HaAkum. Rabbi Yishmael wanted to reveal an explanation for why the rabbis prohibited the cheese of a non-Jew. Ki be'im lo yadu ha'am es tam ha'gezera, ein mekayim es ha'mitzvah b'shleimus. Because one way to look at it is that if people don't know what they're doing, then it's not really a mitzvah. Right? Again, because the rabbis don't have the ability to make mitzvahs like Hashem. Hashem can say anything and it's a chok. It just is. Gezeras HaMelech. But the rabbis don't have that ability, says Rabbi Yishmael. To which Rabbi Yoshua responded, yes, they do. V'amar lo Rabbi Yoshua me'apasak, ki tovim dodecha miyayin, Aravim alai divrei sof divrei. Why does it say it like that? Divrei v'sofrim. Should just say divrei sofrim. Sharavim alai divrei sofrim yoser meyena shel Torah. The words of the sofrim of the rabbis is even more desirable to me than the yayin, than the yena shel Torah, than my mitzvos. V'divrei sofrim lo mipnei hashvira shmira l'divrei Torah levad he mitzvos. Divrei sofrim are not just mitzvos because they serve to protect my interests as Hashem. Rather, rak me'atzman nasim mitzvos. The rabbis make real mitzvos. They create mitzvos. It's a creative power that we have. Atcha arevim yoser mi'en hashel Torah. In some strange way, Hashem even likes it more. Like I just told you, like Gemara in Bava Metzia, nitzchuni banai, my children have defeated me, my children have defeated me. Or the Gemara that says that Hashem makes decrees and the rabbis come and they're mevatel those decrees. That we force the hand of Hashem. Lo b'shamayim hi. Hashem loves that. Hashem loves to see us taking an interest, taking responsibility for the system. Lachain, gam kishalo yadu taiman. So therefore, even if we don't know the reason for the mitzvah, mitzvah b'shleimus heinosim. It remains a true mitzvah. And now the Rebbe speaks to us. V'chein hu b'chol ish Yisrael. L'fi archo u'matzavo be'avoda. Every one of us, according to our erech, according to our worth, our standing, our position in the world, our matzav, wherever we are in our avodas Hashem, we need to realize, underline these next five words, midaito ritzono v'nafsho nasa mitzvos. So we have the ability to make mitzvot. Now what does that mean? I'm not Chazal. I'm not Anshei Knesset HaGedola. I'm not Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yoshua. What does that mean? I can make mitzvos. We can make mitzvos. What does that mean? How do we make mitzvos? So look what he writes here. He quotes from his grandfather. Vod Kedushas Adoni Avi Zakeni Harav HaTzadik VaKadosh HaTzal Mimogolnitsa. The Saraf Mimogolnitsa. Rav Chaim Meir Yechiel. As he was known as the fiery one from Mogolnitsa, who was his grandfather, who he mentioned on the first day of learning Eish Kodesh, who passed away in 1849. This is my holy grandfather used to say, and this is such a gevaldic idea. Shegam hakavanos she'oslo ish ha'Yisraeli la'atzmo l'chavein. When a person creates for himself certain intentions in performing a mitzvah, when he does a mitzvah, when he has his own kavanos, when you make your own kavanos. Now, obviously, a little bit of caution here. You know, don't make your own religion. But if you come up with a nice idea, you have a nice idea of a way to enhance Shabbos, a way to enhance your davening, a way to enhance your avodas Hashem, whatever it may be. If you're a thoughtful Jew who adds a little bit of his own, you know, flavor to the mitzvah as an expression of your love for the mitzvah, kavanos tovos hein. That's a holy thing. That's a good thing. And he says, "Hainu shemi she'eni odeya lachavin kavanas harizal." Right? We've heard of something called kavanas harizal, all sorts of mystical kavanos that a person has when performing mitzvos, and most of them are totally not shayach to us. We're not supposed to be davening out of siddurim that have tons of shemos hakadoshim. We're not Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern. We're not Rav Tzvi Kluger. We're not the tzaddikim of our generation or the previous generation. But we can also have our own kavanas. It's a kavaltic thing. You have a nice little thought, you think of a vart, and you try to tie it into your avodas Hashem, that when I do a mitzvah, I try to think about this first, that little kavanah, that's also a chashuv thing. It's not only kavanas harizal. Kishmechavin milibo v'nafsho la'ashem kefi daito v'retzono kavanos tovosim. When you have good thoughts, good intentions, nice little ways to enhance a mitzvah, don't make an avodah zarah out of it. But if you have a nice little thing that you like to do, that you really feel brings you closer to Hashem, and you're not sure exactly what the source is, where it came from, exactly why that's true, but you sense, you feel that this is a good kavanah. Not sure. I didn't read it in some Kabbalistic workbook. I didn't see it in any sefer per se. But it's a feeling. It's a thought that I think about when I shake my lulav. It helps me to appreciate when I blow the shofar. It gives me greater connection, right? When I open my siddur. Va'akol toloi kefi yisbat luso la'Hashem. And it's all just a further way of connecting myself, being mevatel myself to Hashem. I want to be more present with Hashem. From this bata elav yisbarach yoser. If this brings me to greater bittul to Hashem, if this makes me more mindful of Hashem, if I feel that I'm more in the presence of Hashem when I do the mitzvah because I'm adding another dimension of intention to that mitzvah, az nasa atzmuso yoser elokis atshimimenu nasa mitzvos. You become more godly, and you become a person who's creating mitzvahs. It's interesting how we use the word mitzvah, no? There's 613 mitzvahs, but then we also like call a lot of like good things that we do a mitzvah. Right? Now the reason is because the 613, as the Vilna Gaon's brother writes in his Sefer, are really just, in the name of the Vilna Gaon, I think, Ma'alos HaTorah, he says that the 613 mitzvahs are really the roots of mitzvahs, and they have many branches, like a tree, that sprouts from that root, from that trunk. So do every mitzvah has many, you know, branches and subcategories. Right? So while you're not going to find explicit in the Torah, help the old lady carry her bags across the street, right? That's certainly a subcategory of, I don't know, etc., etc. You can find other things to connect it to. Right? When a person, you know, does something nice, right? When you're teaching a child to say please and thank you, you say to the child, saying please is a mitzvah. A mitzvah? Is that kfira to say such a thing? Why is that a mitzvah? Because it's a good kavana, it's a good intention. It's a nice thing to do. So when a person does good things, and it makes you a better person, and it makes you more aware of Hashem, and you live with greater bittul to Hashem, you become more godly, and you become a maker of mitzvahs. Yes, Reb Dovi.
So that kavana, let's say you say to your kids, you should say please and thank you. Should that always, do you have to always relate that back to the like the branch of the Vilna Gaon? Saying like that has to
it's a nice idea, yeah, like, I think so.
Like is it always relating back, and then that's why it's a mitzvah, right? Because it can relate back to one
right.
Of those.
Connected to a mitzvah, and connected to Hashem. Right. I once heard a tzaddik say that his mother never told him, you know, like, okay, come inside for dinner. Right? She would always say, like, come inside to wash Netilas Yadayim, or come inside to make brachos. Right? And instead of saying, come eat your dinner, she would say, come make brachos. Yeah, it's a nice thing. Meaning, right? Instead of saying, it's time to go to sleep, say, it's time for Kriyashma, you know? It's time for Kriyashma Alamita. Right? And you're centering your existence around Avodas Hashem, with just a little sensitivity in language. Okay? So now, says the Rebbe, why am I telling you this? Right? The Rebbe's talking to his people, 1940. What's he saying to the Jews of Poland in 1940, Parshas Amor? Here's what he's saying, Chavra. Lachain, third to last paragraph. Lachain kishachos v'chalila nasa es tzara liyakov. Therefore, when we find ourselves in very difficult predicaments, in difficult situations, umispalim anu eize tova yotzimiza. And we wonder why on earth is Hashem putting us through this. We believe in our heart of hearts that everything Hashem does is for the best. And yet I can't even begin to wrap my head around why Hashem would want Klal Yisrael to suffer in this way. Halo adrabba. I would say the opposite. It makes no sense at all. Ein oskin b'torah kafisha osko. We're not able to study Torah now in our current situation as we did previously. Va'od shemitzos ein machavin lasos kafisha osu. We're not able to perform the mitzvos the way that we once were able to. I think what the Rebbe in part is saying, and I don't know for sure, but probably, you know, a Jew in the Holocaust is trying to figure out creative ways to do a mitzvah the best he can. And he may be doing mitzvos in unusual ways, in ways that he's never done it before. And the Rebbe wants the Jewish people to know, not only is that not a mitzvah, don't feel that you're not able to do the real mitzvah, Remember this Gemara, Ki tovim dodecha miyayin, that the rabbinic innovations are even greater in a certain sense than Yena Shel Torah, than the mitzvahs d'oraisa. And as we learned, every kavana that a Jew has to try to enhance his avodas Hashem, in a sense, is creating a mitzvah. And therefore, your creative mitzvahs, he's probably telling the Jews, you know, of the Warsaw Ghetto, your creative mitzvahs, while it feels like it's less, in some ways maybe it's more. Amazing idea. About Kevan Shemizbatlin Oz Yosel LaKadosh Baruch Hu, since these new ideas, these new mitzvahs, these unusual ways of connecting to Hashem, we're mavatal ourselves even more so to Hashem. V'gam roin she'ein mi she'oshienu bilti HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're living with greater awareness of God because we really feel that no one is on our side. Our own neighbors have turned against us. There's no one who could save us other than Hashem. L'chein mahes batlus hazos miskarvim elav yisbarach. Through this bittul, we draw close to Hashem. If you remember, I showed you a marsha in Maseches Makos on Daf Yud, on the line of the Gemara that we learned that b'derech she'adam rotza leilech molichan osa. Remember, the path that a person wants to go upon, they lead him upon. And we ask the question, who's they? Why doesn't it say he? Hashem leads him on that path. And I showed you the lashon of the marsha. The marsha said that what? For every machshava, dibur, and masa that a person does in this world. Every thought, every word, every action that a Jew does, it creates a malach. It creates a malach. It creates an angel to protect him. So says the Rebbe here, with every bit of bittul to Hashem, with every creative way that we try to maintain a connection to Hashem, and we feel that we're desperate for Hashem's salvation, so with every little move that we make, we should realize every kavana, every maisa, every dibur, every machshava, we're making mitzvahs. If you're doing the best you can, even though it feels like some, you know, perversion of mitzvahs, Hashem, you took away our yeshivas, you took away our batei knesses, you know, you took away our shuls, you took away our places of learning, you took away our mikvahs, so we're trying to find all sorts of creative ways to keep a connection, and it feels like it's so much less of a connection. They're saying, no, it's not less of a connection. Your creative efforts to be connected to me at all costs is the ultimate expression of our love. Ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Says the Rebbe, last two paragraphs. V'hinei, gam b'chol ha-mitzvos omrim asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. So, gevaldik, we can stop the piece here and we learned an amazing thing today. But we got to circle back to what we started with and try to put it together. Because now we have a much better understanding of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yeshua's conversation in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah. But let's go back to Parsha Zemar. Svartem lachem mimachras haShabbos. Right? Let's go back to the pasuk that Tzedukim said you start counting Sfiras Omer on Sunday. And the Frum Jews, the Torah Jews, said you start counting Sfiras Omer on the second day of Pesach, on Tessai and Nisan. So says the Rebbe, what's unique, what's special about Sfiras Omer? Says the Rebbe, we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav on every mitzvah that we do. But Sfiras Omer, the truth is, it is pretty amazing that for 49 nights in a row, right, every time, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav etzivanu, aval b'Sfiras Omer, nikadshin es atzmenu v'pratios b'zayin midos. We're not just doing a mitzvah of Hashem, but we're actually what? We're actually kind of creating and refashioning ourselves, purifying and being mekadesh ourselves. Sfiras HaOmer is maybe, in a certain sense, the ultimate reminder of Kedushas Yisrael. I can be a Chesed Sheba Chesed Jew. I can be a Gvura Sheba Chesed Jew. I can be a Teferes Sheba Chesed Jew. I can be a Netzach Sheba Chesed Jew. I'm working through all the dimensions of my soul, showing how worthy I am of what? Of this connection to Hashem. So even though I often feel small and I feel like my efforts or my cute little kavanas don't really mean anything, we just learned today, no. Your kavanos are no less than kavanas harizal. Your kavanos are nasa mitzvos. So Sfiras HaOmer, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, it's so transformative to us. U'b'prate pratyo zayin midos shebechol sfira. And we're working through each little nekuda of each sfira. And we're doing it on a level of days, and we're doing it on a level of weeks, as we learned. Mitzvah l'mimne shvuei. We learned this Gemara. U'mitzvah l'mimne yomei. Gemara in Chagiga and Menachos, there's a mitzvah to count weeks, there's a mitzvah to count days. Is that one mitzvah? Is that two mitzvahs? Right? The Rambam, Rabbi Yeruchim, Zayin HaYomim Shebechol Shua, 7 days making a week, a sense of wholesomeness, about Kol LeKadshenu, and all of it is what? And all of it is to transform us. So now, look what he says in the last couple of lines. Let's see if we can get it. L'chein mizeh kol etzem ha-Yisraeli nasa mitzvah. So, however, it's one thing for you to believe that what? That you can make a mitzvah, you can enhance a mitzvah, you can create a kavana. It's another thing to what? To transform yourself into such a way that it's not just I've created an idea, right? Or I've made a kavana, or I fashioned a mitzvah, right? But I've made myself into the embodiment of a mitzvah. I become, the same way we refer to the mitzvahs as what? As a varin de malka, as limbs of the king. So I start to see myself as a limb of the king. That my chelek elokam yimal mamish, that my neshama inside of me, right, is really one with the king. It's no longer outside of myself, it's transforming myself. That the etzem ha-Yisraeli nasa mitzvah. I become a mitzvah. I become a sefer Torah. That's what we're trying to do, Yeshua. It's not just to receive the Torah, but to be the Torah. Val zeh meramis sheleinyan ha-sfira nikra yom tov Shabbos. So to answer our question, why specifically in the context of Sfira Sa'omer do we call the yom tov of Pesach Shabbos? So I told you in the past how the B'nai Yisrael answers why we call Pesach Shabbos. But the Rebbe is saying it a little differently. The Rebbe is saying, why do we call Pesach, true, it's Pesach, but why do we call it Shabbos as it relates to Sfiras HaOmer? That's the real question. Mimacharas HaShabbos, we're calling Pesach, we're calling the Yom Tov Pesach Shabbos in the context of counting the Omer. Why, Dafka, in that context, are we calling Yom Tov Shabbos? And the answer is, look, Yom Tov Yisrael Mekach. What is Yom Tov? Yom Tov, who creates Yom Tov? Who declares Yom Tov? We look at the moon. We decide what the calendar is. That dictates when Yom Tov is. We declare Yom Tov. Mekadesh Yisrael. Nu? Bazmanim. It's the Kedushas Yisrael that creates the Kedushas Zman. What about Shabbos? What bracha do we say on Shabbos? We don't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Shabbos. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Right? Shabbos in the language of Chazal is Kviya V'Kaima. It just is. Every 7 days. Yom Kippur could be on a Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when we saw the moon. Shabbos? Shabbos is not in our control. So Yom Tov Yisrael Mekadshim. Shabbos, Kvi V'Kaima, Shashem Mekadshim. Hashem makes Shabbos. As we say, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Ve'al Yidei, Hiskadashnu B'Sfira, Nikra Gam HaYom Tov Sh'anu Mekadshim B'Shem Shabbos. What a gewaldic punchline. You know what the Rebbe is saying? Sfiras HaOmer teaches us that our creations, our Yom Tov, is no less than Shabbos, no less than Hashem's ultimate creation. The things that you make, your kavanas, your efforts, the way that you mold mitzvos, Yom Tov, which is our domain, right, is equated, is like Shabbos. If you believe in the power of Sfiras HaOmer, if you believe in the ability to transform every detail of your soul, from Chesed to Gvura, to Teferes, to Netzach, to Hod, to Yesod, to Malchus, if you can mold yourself in such a way, Hashem says not only can you make mitzvahs, you can be a mitzvah, not only can you be a mitzvah, that your mitzvahs can be even greater than my mitzvahs, Ki Tovim Dodecha Miyayin. What an unbelievable piece, no? Remo, you're loving this piece. It's an amazing piece. And again, I think in the context, and again, sometimes I'm guessing, sometimes, again, we have certain historical, you know, references, svarim that have been written in recent years to give us a little bit more of a historical context. I didn't even get a chance to, I forgot to look on this piece. Right? But I think we can guess what the Rebbe is saying to the people. You feel you have so much less right now, but you're serving Hashem in a unique and creative way like never before, and in a certain sense, that's so much more. And that's such a chizik. For a Jew who finds himself in a situation where I can't have my regular schedule. And I have to be creative in my Avodas Hashem. I have to find new ways to feel deeply connected. Because maybe I don't have the certain environment that makes it easier to, you know, to be Oved Hashem. So I have to find creative ways. have to find a creative time in my day to learn a little bit because I have a summer internship that takes me here or there, right? So I don't usually, you know, I don't usually get to learn in this place at this time in a creative, but I find creative ways. I find creative ways to serve Hashem. I find a creative space or a creative time to daven a mincha. I find different ways, a different kavana, even though my situation seems worse, but with the right attitude, I can make it even better. So I think that's what the Rebbe is saying. And then we turn Yom Tov into Shabbos. We believe that our creation, our Mikadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, is not any less significant than Hashem's Mikadesh Shabbos. It's a gavaldic piece. Yeah.
Firstly, I think that then shows obviously why we were able to interpret Shabbos in our Pasuk as Yom Tov. Because we're saying that it's equal to.
Right.
And then also, in terms of the historical context, I think another comment that might really is that like each generation has their own tafkin, or like its own mitzvah.
Right.
So
every generation has its mitzvah that they need to mold and to enhance and to focus on.
So it's possible that this generation had like a very different focus than anything that they had seen before.
Right.
And so like it needed to be like brought out that like it's still our top, even though like, oh, we can't do tefillah and Torah, which has been like the way for the past few hundred years, like we're doing something different now.
Right. Right. That's right. And we shouldn't feel that that's less. Beautiful. Yeah.
How do you balance this with like low sauce?
Meaning, how do I not get too creative?
Yeah.
How do I not deviate from tradition? How do I know my place? Again, he's talking, right. He's talking about, right. And again, the question you have to ask yourself, does it bring you to greater bitl to Hashem? If it creates greater hizbatlus, if it brings you closer to Hashem in the form of bitl to Hashem, if it's greater surrender to Hashem, so there's a good indication that you're not becoming your own God. But if it causes a certain sense of an inflated ego, or some type of gaiva, or some type of, you know, a sense of self, greater sense of self, because I created this idea, then it's probably an indication you're moving in the wrong direction. That's what I would suggest. I think. Yes, Reb Oren. Creative, you know. You're saying averus that are worse because they're creative.
No.
Chidushim and averus.
I'm saying like you're doing something wrong that like isn't necessarily like a textbook
error,
but like in your situation, like it's your way of doing an averus.
Yeah.
The story with the duck.
What's the story with the duck?
Where it was the Rebbe was so
different.
It's about like Rishas.
Yeah, say? What?
So, I forgot who the Rebbe was, but there was a story where they're having this whole big tish, and a few of the big, like, donors, like, got this very expensive duck, I think.
Okay, I don't know the story, yeah.
I remember you saying this in
Japan. I said the story? Okay.
And then...
Say it in a new way, yeah.
Okay, so then, it was like all the thing, he was, like, dancing with it and running around the table with it, and then he, like, chucks it in the garbage.
Oh.
And all his Hasidim were like, what's going on, what's happening?
Right.
And like a couple minutes, like just after that, like the cooks come out and say like...
Hope you didn't eat it, something...
Because it was like, it was a trait, there was something wrong with it. And they asked the Rebbe, like, how were you able to...
Okay. How did you know that it wasn't kosher?
And it was because like he had been mevatel his taiva for rishus things... And he felt the taiva for it, which meant that it must have not been rishus.
Right. It was coming from a bad place. Right. He sensed that the way that he had a desire to eat it in a way that didn't make sense. Lefi madrigaso. So he understood, right? Right. Yeah, it has to bring you to greater bittul to Hashem. It has to bring you to bittul to Hashem. Nusa Oren, to finish how you want to say it. Meaning an avera, you know, you call it an avera, call it a chait. The word chait means to miss the mark, right? So anything that's, you know, that's off basis doesn't have to be an official avera. Again, you know, we have 248 and we have 365, but those are branches. Those are roots. I'm sorry, that from which emerge many different branches.
So, but I like what I originally thought you were saying, which is, you know, if we can be creatively, we can be empowered in a creative way to mold and to shape mitzvahs, we have to be equally cautious about not, you know, being the first to say, do a chiddush of an averach. I hope we can be matzliach in that as well.
Being creative to avoid
averach. Yeah, that's good. That's a nice way to say it. Find creative ways to outsmart your Yetzirah. Yeah, that's a good idea.